years ago, hunting season for me was, it has morphed over the years. Hunting season has as an 11-year-old, I couldn't believe I could not go hunting yet. And as a 12-year-old, I thought I had, the Red Sea had really divided and I was able to walk through the Red Sea. You know, I could go, I could buy the license, you know, I could go hunting for the first time. And then over the years, we spent many, many, many hours I have in the woods, many, many hours of small game hunting in the past. And then archery season kind of took over most of our time, so we didn't spend as much time small game hunting as we had prior. But small game hunting really, even today, would be one of my favorite things to do, is to go and hunt small game. My brother and I spent many hours, and one day we were in this patch, and it was up on top of this hill, and I didn't bring a map. I wanted to, but I'm going to forego the map of exactly where it was all happening. But we had come out of a brush lot and down through a hedgerow, and the hedgerows were somewhat filled up with weeds and brush and different things like that. So it was a great way to hunt the hedgerow, and normally one of us would walk through the hedgerow and the other one would kind of flank the hedgerow. And often you'd get ringnecks or you would get rabbits or something like that. It was just a great moment, and it was the weather was good, and he had some camaraderie. You know, all the archery season has really just sealed up all our conversation during hunting, is what it did for us. But small game hunting, you were ribbing each other if you missed. I mean, it was just this real moments together, and we were walking out this one hedgerow, and my brother was hunting with his Mossberg 500 pump gun, and I was hunting with an old Winchester Model 37A single-shot shotgun, which you had to have one between your fingers, one shell, and one in the gun so you could have a quick second shot if you needed it. I got fairly good at having a fairly good quick second shot with carrying one between my fingers. But my brother had reloaded. I got a picture of a shotgun shell that'll come up on the screen. My brother had reloaded shotgun shells. My dad had an old reloader that we would reactivate them, really, is what we did. We would have to resize the casing. If you went down over the plastic and down over the brass part, that needed to be resized so it would go gun into the gun smoothly, because they expand just a small amount when you fire them. And if you don't resize the casing, they kind of mess your gun up. And then you have to work and get a new primer and some powder and a new wadding and the shot. And then you have to crimp the end. You can see on this side of the screen the crimped end. This is a factory crimp. Okay, young buck crimp isn't quite as good as a factory crimp, okay? So the factory crimp holds everything together inside of the shell until at the right moment, and then it bursts open and let everything that's on the inside of the bullet to be set free out the end of your barrel. And my brother had reloaded a fair amount of shells, but the resizer on the reloading gun didn't work just properly. And so his Mossberg pump gun would jam up every once in a while with these shells that he had reloaded. So he gave the shells to me, and who wouldn't want to shoot your brother's shells? I'm just saying, being honest, who wouldn't want to shoot your brother's shells? I'd take them all. And they would go inside that old Winchester Model 37A. That thing was sloppy enough, it would shoot anything. You could throw anything in that gun, and it would shoot it out the end, and it would pop it out at the end. It just was a better gun for shells that weren't quite right. So we were hunting down, and we come out into this hedgerow, and I had these reloaded 12-gauge shells from my brother. And we were walking quite a distance and out the hedgerow, and all of a sudden we get close to the end of the hedgerow, and out comes a rabbit right on my side. Just a perfect out through the corn fodder. It was going to be a great shot, and I shouldered my gun, and when I pulled the trigger, it went thump. That's all it did. It went thump. It did nothing. It's just a thump. I mean, if you've ever hunted, a thump is not a good noise coming out of your 12 gauge. And what I had found out is that the crimp did not hold properly on that gun. And as I was walking and beating my way through the brush, the BBs were running out the end of my gun. They were leaking out of the shell, and one at a time I was planting them, kind of like a Hansel and Gretel type thing. I was planting them along the path. So when time came for action to happen, my shell was empty. And when your shell is empty and you pull the trigger, it gets a thump, but it doesn't do anything out on the end. Now the rabbit stood up and just did one of these to me, and he went on his way. But I realized that if I'm going to be successful in hunting, I better not have empty shells. I better not be empty. And as I processed that, this Psalm 65 this week, I was thinking about being empty. And how am I empty? Am I going through life, and when the action starts, and then all of a sudden I find myself empty? I don't find myself with what I need to get to engage with what's going on around me. I do find myself empty. Sometimes I think the reality is we are empty. And when I read that Psalm 65, I really felt like that was part of me at times. That David was right. David felt it at this time. And what David was feeling, I think what David was feeling was not what I was feeling. As I read this scripture, and as I read that first verse of Psalm 65, I was thinking, man, David is loaded and ready. But I wonder if at times, I wonder if I'm loaded and ready. I wonder if I'm sitting there empty, because it says, praise awaits you. Oh God in Zion, praise awaits you. You know what praise is? Praise is this expression. It's an expression. It's to make a show, to flash a light, to rave, to celebrate. Something's happening. I'm loaded. I'm loaded. And when action starts, boom! No, thump. David had a boom. And I wonder at times, because it awaits you, it means you're locked and loaded and ready. That's why I said to God, I am so ready to praise you. God, I am filled up with what I got to release. That's what David is saying. It awaits you, O God, in Zion. I am all antsy. I'm like a 4-year-old on Mountain Dew. I can't help it. I am amped up. But I wonder at times if I'm amped. Am I empty? I want to say, oh God, a praise awaits you. I am so full in Zion. You, to you, our vows will be fulfilled. I'm going to let this out, God. I'm so full. I'm so full of thanksgiving. I'm so full of adoration. I'm so full of something that's causing this great turmoil, good turmoil inside of my soul, that I got to let it out, God. But then I figure, oh, I don't know if I'm that way all the time. I don't know if I'm full of praise. It awaits you. Maybe it's prearranged and we have a worship team and we got someone sitting at the guitar and someone sitting at the bass and someone sitting at the piano and someone at the drums and people behind the mic and are waiting. They're waiting to release something. And they're inviting us to release it with them. Whether it's our worship or whether it's our praise, they're inviting us to release that with them. And sometimes, I just to be honest, sometimes I sit here and I don't think I have anything to release. It's like I'm empty. It's like when the rabbit goes off, it's like thump. God, I want a bang. But I get a thump once in a while. And I said, God, is there something wrong with me? Am I leaking? Is my crimp not right? If I'd been dragged through the briars so much in my life or anything in this past week that I didn't even realize the stuff was running out of me. Because I tell you why, you can hear those babies running out the end of your gun unless your gun is beating against the brush so you can get yourself through it. And sometimes maybe you can feel what's running out of your life. What's there so much going on in life? And then I find myself in this prearranged praise time. And I find myself wanting to release my praise, and I find that thump. It's prearranged. Everybody's ready. I just got a feeling I'm not the only one. Some weeks I'm not the only one that's sitting there saying, God, I want to, woo! It's not happening. And it's this running toward God with praise. You can push the button. It's this running toward God with praise. Running toward God with this boom. It's running toward God. God is in this room. Let us run to Him in praise. That's what that verse is saying. But I got nothing. I want to run toward God in praise. But what if I'm empty? But what if I'm empty? You can push the button. But what if I'm empty? And all of a sudden, maybe I hear, boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden, you hear up here, thump. And all of a sudden, I say, God, I don't even know if I should be here. I'm so empty. Psalm 150 says this, right? It says, oh, just so you know, like 13 times in 6 verses, I think it wants us to get us to praise the Lord. There's no secret. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in the sanctuary. Praise the Lord in His mighty heavens. And praise Him for acts of His power. And praise Him for the surpassing greatness. And praise Him with sounds of the trumpet. Woo! That's a woo! Do it. Just whatever you got, just do it. Just take your chair and bang it on the ground. You got to do something because there's something going on inside of that psalmist there. But I got to be honest. At times, I'm just a thump. And it goes on in that Psalm 150. It says this, praise Him with the harp and the lyre, and praise Him with tambourine and dancing, and praise Him with strings and flute, and praise Him with clashing of cymbals, and praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want it. To be honest, it's not always there. Because I think I'm drugged through so much briar that I can't even feel myself leaking anymore. And then when I get to the moments when I want to release the praise, I'm empty. But what if I'm empty? So I stall here for a minute and I ask the question, what if I'm empty? And before we can approach the remainder of Psalm 65, I've got to consider I might not be the only one that's empty on certain weeks. I got to consider I'm not the only one that's been drugged through the briars and didn't know I was leaking. And I got to believe at times I'm not the only one that gets a thump rather than a bang. Because I've leaked. And can I address our emptiness? That's what I want to do just for a moment this morning. Can I address my emptiness? Because really, if I go through Psalm 65 and I just start saying, praise God, praise God, praise God for this, and we're going to do that, but if I'm empty, then all of a sudden, what am I feeling? I'm feeling like, oh, I feel like crap today. So I need to address that. That's what my heart says. I need to address that. I need to address what if you're empty today. And do I believe everyone in the room is empty? I don't think so. I think some of you are ready. Some of you are like, whoa, get out the way. But I think there's others here saying, oh, I know exactly what you mean. And so you're going to have to, if you're all ready for praise, and you're just going to have to, you know, jiggle around in your chair like you got to go to the bathroom or something just for a minute, okay? And let us that may not be full just take a moment here. And say, God, we're not. I got no praise, God. I got no shot. God, I got a thump, not a bang. Look at what he says in Psalm 147. It's up on the screen. He says, praise the Lord. And then look at what he says, how good it is to sing praises to our God. So we know it's a good thing. And so just to be honest, I just got to be transparent. Sometimes I read that and I said, I know it's a good thing, but I don't have it. So now I'm feeling bad. Like I'm bad or something. Because all good Christians would want to praise the Lord. For crying out loud, what's wrong with you? All good believers would say, woo, let's go, God. I don't feel it. And the psalmist is saying, it's good to praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. But look what he says in verses 2 and 3. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles from Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. See, I think God's talking to those that may not be full. He said, wait a minute, we know. I want you to know that releasing your praise is very good, and releasing your praise is what I want you to do, but I understand that you're brokenhearted and you're wounded, you're messed up, and you got stuff going on that's not right inside of you. I got that, God says. I know that feeling. And I'm here for you. Before we go on anywhere else, he said, I got it. I heal the brokenhearted, the splintered and the shattered and the shivering heart. That's what that means. The shivering heart, the cold heart, the one that's just barely getting along. The splintered heart, I heal the splintered hearted. I heal the shattered heart. I heal the shivering heart. And I see and I bind up their wounds, their pain and their hurt and their sorrow. Because I think God knows in verse 1 of 147 of Psalm, he knows that it's good for us to be so full of praise and release that praise and sing praises to God and sing. But he also knows that we've been drugged through the briars and our cell is empty. So I ask, before we go any further, do you need a healing this morning? Do you need a new anointing? Do you need a fresh touch? Do you need to go back to the reloader? Do you need to be filled up again and recrimped? Because not only is God the great physician, he's the great shell reloader. And he says, well, I want to feel you. I know you're broken. I know. I get to splintered hearts. I see them. I see your shivering hearts. And I see your wounds. And I see your challenge. And I see that you're empty. And I'm not going to just cast you outside until you get it right. Will you get it right? And then you can come back in. Because everybody else is praising God. You must be screwed up. That's not God. God said, I see your heart. I see your shivering heart, and I see your wounds. And I want to fill you back up. I know you've been drugged through the briars. I want to heal you and fill you back up. Look what he says to them in Ezekiel. He says this, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. These are people that are been drugged through the knot hole backwards. These are people that have had great challenges in life. These are people, I think, that are empty. Okay, maybe something going on in their culture, something going on in their own personal life. There's a lot going on here, and God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will become clean, and I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols, or those things that are trying to run rampant in your heart and take your life over. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will remove the stone that's trying to replace your heart. And I will give you a heart that will feel again. I'm putting you back under the reloader is what he's saying. And he says, I'm going to sprinkle you with water. And I'm going to give you a new heart. Before we go any more into Psalm 65. I need to be sprinkled. I need to feel the fresh anointing from God. I need to be healed. I need him to put pellets back in me. I need to be sprinkled. I got to ask this once. Am I making any sense at all? Because I don't know about you, but I want to worship and praise God. But there is times when I am so empty. Because we're going to continue in Psalm 65. But before we do,
don't sprinkle me up. Give me two.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I will sprinkle you with clean water. I will take the stone out of you that's trying to be your heart. And I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And I'm going to fill you up. Psalm 65 says, praise awaits you, O Lord, in Zion. Let me shoulder my praise and pull the trigger. Praise awaits the Lord. Look what the rest of the psalm says. Oh, you who hear prayer. Oh, you, God, who hear prayer. There is a listening God in the room. Let us add a praise to it. Amen. That's what he said. I am a listening God. I'm healing your heart, and I'm replacing that stone with a life so you can praise and come running toward the listening God. And you can just add your energy to what I am hearing from you. I don't care what it is. I am a listening God. Don't you love that? That's the first thing he says. I hear you. It's not even God says anything. He said, you are a listening God. Let me add a praise to it, God. Let me add a praise to it. Let me run towards you. Let us run toward this listening God. Look at what he says and continued in verse 2. To all men, to you all men will come, because God is a wide open door. And there is an open door in this room. Let us add a praise to it. That's what he's saying. Praise awaits you, God. You are a listening God. Oh, God, your doors are wide open. Your borders are without chains. You can receive and you will receive. All men are coming to you, God. All men are coming to you. He says, oh, God, my praise awaits that, God. I want to add my praise to that truth that God is a God with open doors and God is a God who hears. And verse 3 says this, and when we were overwhelmed by sin, you forgave our transgression. There is forgiveness in the room. Let us add our praise to it. Let us run toward God as he wants to forgive you. Not after you got everything all right in your life. He said there is a forgiveness in the room. Run toward forgiveness with an energy of your soul. Run toward forgiveness. Don't wait till you think you got it all sewed up. I will forgive you. There is a forgiveness in the room. Let us add a praise to it. That's what the psalmist is saying. Can you imagine the worship service when they come through on this Psalm 65? And then those people, they come in and they've had this experience and God has filled them up and God has sprinkled them with new water and God has taken the heart, the stone out of their chest and put a heart back in their chest. And all of a sudden, somebody said, "Woo! Let's sing Psalm 65. You got to do it, Tobin. Go, come on, drummer. We got to do it. I want to do Psalm 65 because there's forgiveness in this room. And I can't wait to add my praise to it. Oh, I am on a sugar high like you'd never believe. Just start the psalm and let me just release my praise because there's a listening God in the room. There's a God without borders in the room. There's a forgiving God in the room. And I'm going to run toward that God with everything I got. Woo!
Come on now.
I feel like a lineman who just picked up the ball and run it back 80 yards for a touchdown. There is forgiveness in this room. Look at what he says in verse 4. And let me just go kind of filter down through this psalm now. Blessed are those who choose, you choose and bring near to living in your courts. Bring near to live in your courts! Exclamation point. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. There's an invitation in the room. Let's add a praise to it. I don't know where you're at today, but God's got an invitation for you to come close to him. Let's just add our praise to what God is doing, what God is doing in our midst. He's forgiving us. He's opening the doors. He's listening to us. And now he's inviting us to come close to him, the living, sovereign, almighty, all-powerful, all-loving, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, and omnibenevolent. God is inviting you to come close to him. Let's just add our praise to it. Let's just add what he's doing inside of us to it, that new heart and that new filling that he has for us. Look what it says in verse 4 again. We are filled with good things of your house and your holy temple. There are good things in this room. There are good things. Listen, new lifers, there are good things in this room. Add your praise to it. Just let it out. Just say, I'm coming, God. Woo. And I don't know if I'm at a bang yet, but I'm a mother thump. And I'm going to use just that notch above the thump to run toward a living God who is inviting me to come close to him. There's an invitation. There are good things in this room. Let's add a praise to it. Verse 5 says this, "You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and the farthest seas." There's a wonder-working power in the room. Let's just add our praise to it. We know from the Bible that David played a harp. I wonder if he had an electric harp. And I wonder if he picked it up once in a while. I don't know if he really just went jamming with it. I don't know, can you jam with a harp? I think you can. I just think you can. I'm not talking one of those big, maybe you can with that too. I don't know, but I have a feeling that David is getting amped as he goes. Because he realized he was going to use the first praise, the first thing that God has put in his heart, he's going to use it to run toward a listening God. And now he's going to run toward a wonder-working power that's in the room. Verse 6 says, "Who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength." There is strength in the room. Let's just add our praise to it. You don't have to figure it out. I don't have to figure it out. God, what are you going to, how can I do this? How can I have enough power, enough strength to do this? And God says, just use what you got and come close to a wonder-working God. And let me show you what I can do. Just use what fuel you have, the few BBs I just put inside of you, and run toward a listening God. Run toward a wonder-working God. And run toward him. And watch what I can do. Watch the strength I can put in you. Verse 7 says, Who stilled the roaring of the sea, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nation. There is a stilling in the room. Let's add a praise to it. You know what a stilling means? It's not like a West Virginia stilling, okay? There's a calming. There's a peace. There's a stilling in the room. Just run toward God. And let him dispense that in your life. Verse 8 says, "Those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy." There's a dawning in the room. There's a dawning in the room. I'm feeling it right now. There's a dawning in the room. Somebody is going to have the sun come up on their life. There's a dawning in the room, and that's what that means. It's ready to raise up. God's ready to raise up something in your life. If you've been waiting for it, now's the time. It's in the room. Run toward it with every bit of praise you have. I don't care if it's 5 BBs or 50. There's a dawning in the room. And look what else there is in the room. A fading in the room. And whatever's got you by the short hairs of your life, it's starting to fade away right now. I speak it in the name of Jesus. It's fading away right now. Because there's a fading in the room. And there's a dawning in the room. The sun is coming up. And the stuff in your life is setting. Behind the clouds, behind the mountains. And it's going away right now as I speak in the name of Jesus. It's going away right now. And a new dawn is coming. Because there's a listening God in the room. There's a wonder-working God in the room. You see where the song's going? I have no idea if there's a modern-day song. I'm talking modern-day, the last 200 years. Seems this song is 3,000 years old. I don't know if there's any with Psalm 65 wrapped around it, but I'd like to see it. Because there's a dawning in the room, let us add a praise to it. There's a fading in the room, let us add a praise to it. Look at verse 9. "You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. So you have ordained it." There's a physical provision in the room. just add a praise to it. Because God has already ordained it. Run toward a wonder-working, listening, all-powerful, almighty God. With the 3 or 4 BBs He put in you today, with a decent crimp on you, run toward God and bang! Because I'm speaking it right now, there's more than a thump in all of us right now. There's a physical provision in the room. Let us add a praise to it. Verse 10 says, you drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless it with crops. There's a softening in the room. Let's add a praise to it. Somebody you're thinking about right now is hard. They're hard in their life. They're hard. I'm getting the picture right now that God softened them right now. Run toward God because He's a softening God. The hardest, the flint hearts that God sees, He'll soften those step at a time. Run toward God with a softening, with a God who can soften the hearts. Let us just finish this psalm. You crown the year with your bounty and your carts overflow with abundance. There's bounty in the room. Let us add a praise to it. 12 says, the grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. There's renewal in the room. Let us add a praise to it. God's doing that right now. The psalm ends with verse 13. It says, the meadows are covered with flocks. I love that picture. The meadows are covered with flocks. And the valleys are mantled with grain. Wow. They shout for joy and sing. The meadows are covered with flocks and the valleys are mantled or laid over with grain. They shout for joy and sing. There's abundance in the room. There's completeness in the room. Let's just add our praise to it. Will you stop trying to, listen, anybody got a mirror? Will you stop trying to figure it out? Just add your praise to it. Right back to verse 1. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. Let us shoot. How about it, New Life? The hills are covered with flocks, and the valley is mantled with grain. And they're shouting for joy. Can we just add a praise to what God's doing and who He is? 2 BBs, 3 BBs, an ounce of BBs. Stand with me today. As I said, stand with me, God said, do you really say please? So please stand with me. God, thank you for this past week in my life where you've given me what it was that I needed so I could add a praise to it. God, I'm going to ask that you would Psalm 65 us. And you would take the hearts of stone and continue to replace those with hearts of flesh, and you would continue to sprinkle us with water and cleanse us and fill us, because you know that we're brokenhearted, and you know that we're wounded, and you know that it's good to praise you, and you know that brokenhearted people and wounded people find it very difficult to praise. But you knew that. That's why you heal them. So thank you for that. So God, here we go into this day, the rest of this day. May we feel the anointing of Psalm 65 over us as individuals and as a whole body of believers. Thank you, God, for your being a listening God, a forgiving and a wonder-working God. Thank you that the hills are full of flocks and the valley is mantled with grain. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.